You're listening to Arts Monday on Eastside Radio 89.7. Paul with you today. And just letting you know, the Head-On Photo Festival is an annual event open to local and international photographers. It's now in its 11th year, and this year, due to COVID, they've had to reimagine the festival as the world's first online photo festival. However, with the recent relaxation of COVID restrictions, audiences can now view the works across 25 venues in Sydney. Primary locations include Bondi Beach and Paddington Reservoir. And one of the exhibitors in this year's festival is Brian Cassie, who's an internationally acclaimed photojournalist. And he joins us now on the line. Welcome to Arts Monday, Brian.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. So you're in print in just about every publication in Australia and the UK and many other venues around the world. And I'm just interested to know a little bit about how you work. And do you find your own assignments or do they find you?
Well, it's a mixture of both these days. It's rather complex. A lot of the work is assigned by newspaper picture desks or magazine picture desks. And other times I'll find a story concept and follow it up and then try and find a market afterwards.
Okay, so do you work through an agent or anything, or that's you just your,
no,
your reputation?
No, purely personal, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's the old adage that, you know, a picture tells 1,000 words, but, you know, you've got to choose one picture. I imagine on any assignment you'd take several. How do you choose the one picture that tells the complete story?
Well, usually you don't. Excuse me. That's the thing. If I'm doing an assignment for a newspaper, pass out, you know, for example, they'll assign a job. It's usually up to you to arrange it, pick venues, and come up with a concept for photographs, but several photographs. Picture desks are demanding, and usually send them a dozen, 20 pictures from any particular job. And obviously you've got your favourites, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those are the ones that see the light of day.
Oh, okay, so that choice is in someone else's hands.
Yeah, I mean, you try and take one, which I can't ignore, but it doesn't always happen, you know, which is sometimes a little bit annoying, but, you know, that's life.
Yeah. So when, you, when you're taking your photos out on assignment, what is it you're looking for? I mean, you've been given the task and you've been given the story. So what do you look for when you're out there on location?
Well, like you said earlier, you try and sum up the entire story in one photograph. As much as you can. It's not an easy task. You've got to take the story into consideration, you've got to take the conditions into consideration, you've got to take the subject into consideration. You've also got to come up with a photograph which says, this is the story, and people can't ignore.
Yes, I mean, when you're out there shooting, do you take things into account like the composition or the colour, the lighting? Or did you just, you do that automatically because you've been such an experienced photographer?
Yeah. I mean, when you're away to a job or an assignment, it's going through your head, what can I do here, what can I do here, what can I do here? But you really don't know the circumstances until you get there. So you've got initial ideas, which may change when you actually get to take the photographs. But then you're sort of, you're coming up with ideas on the run.
Okay, and just winging it, as you say.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of editing of the photos before you submit them?
No. That's a bit of a no-no. You do basic updates to the pictures, which, you know, contrast probably, or, you know, a little bit of sharpness because they don't sharpen the camera.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, and you might change the composition slightly, a bit of cropping, you know, but that's about all you can, as a photojournalist, that's about all you're allowed to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see a lot of altered images in, you know, this whole concept of fake news and what's real and what's artificial, and that seems to be creeping not so much into reputable journals, but certainly less reputable journals and online as well. So
yeah, social media is a bit of a catalyst for that as well. You can't trust anything on social media.
Yeah. So is that undermining the authority of your profession? The fact that this...
Yeah, well, photojournalists strive to be known as completely and utterly trustworthy. And all the while they're doing that, hopefully that trust will be there. But yes, to answer your question, yes, I think it is undermined somewhat. Yeah. Not in a large degree, but it does put that element of doubt in people's minds, which is very, very sad.
That is. I mean, when I look at a photograph these days, firstly, I look at the source of the photo. If it's a known publication, I thought, they're reasonably reliable. But then I ask myself, what's the possibility that this photo has been manipulated somewhere along the line? So it certainly casts doubt in my mind.
It does put doubts in people's minds, which is very sad. I mean, you come up with an amazing picture, and you know, if it ended up on social media, you'd get this wide range of people saying, "Oh, well, that's Photoshop." They've got no evidence, and they've got no idea what you can do with Photoshop or not.
Yeah.
But you know, that perception of Photoshop is a dirty word. You know.
Yes.
And we don't do that. You know, we just don't do that. It doesn't happen.
I had the privilege of meeting the late Lewis Morley a few years back, and I asked him, how do you tell a good photo from a great photo from a mediocre one? And he answered with a wry smile, and he said, well, you look at 1,000 pictures and you'll soon work it out. Is that the same for photojournalism? Is that how you tell a good one from a bad one? Just, you know, from...
Oh, look, it's subjective. I mean, I see photographs, and I try and make photographs that people look at and go... Wow, that's what the aim is to get people's attention and to tell the story at the same time. So when I'm doing it, when I'm working, I'm working on a job and I'm taking a couple of hundred pictures or something. If I can get one that to me says wow, I'm happy puppy.
Mm. You're listening to.
But that may not mean wow to another viewer, One can't control that.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can only control what you put out there, not how people react to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does your work ever cross into other genres, or do you play with?
Oh, it does. Yes.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I mean, there's a fine line between. They coexist: photojournalism and portraiture, because a lot of the work you do in photojournalism. Does include portraiture. Now, the difference between photojournalism and portraiture is that portraiture is to some extent, just a little or sometimes even a larger amount, it's staged to a certain extent. So, which is against the ideals of photojournalism. But they do coexist side by side.
Yeah.
Because portraits can tell stories just as much as now photojournalism. So you certainly, I do a lot of portraiture, and because it's something that I like doing as much as photojournalist, but they tend to coexist side by side.
I'm talking to Brian Cassie, an acclaimed photojournalist, who's recently put a work into the Head On Photo Festival, which is opening on Monday the 9th of November around Sydney. So, Brian... how important are festivals like the Head On Festival for your career?
They're essential. Head On's been going for 10 years, I think, now.
Yep.
It is a massive showcase for our work. And you've got to thank Moshe Rosenzweig for giving us this window. It's grown and grown and grown from its initial roots 10 years ago. I can't remember exactly what it was. To something that's really, really, really special. And in this day and age, in the industry, which is, I won't say crumbling, but it's certainly evolving and changing in different ways, to have your work seen somewhere like Head On is a very, very large bonus.
Because it's not only the festival in Sydney, a large part of it usually tours internationally as well. although this year might be an exception for that.
Exactly. That'll be rather difficult this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Look, I've on the way to the studio today, I walked past the Paddington Reservoir Gardens, and your work has already been hung, even though the festival doesn't open until Monday. And it's quite spectacular. The title of it is Me Too, Where the Boys Are, the Girls Are. So what's the story behind these images? What's the story that you're telling with that?
The story behind it, well, it was an assigned job, actually. I was quite fortunate to be approached by a film company who were making a documentary about this burlesque group, Men Exclusive, for Vice TV. Mm-hmm. And they wanted still photographs of the group touring and performing in Cairns, where I live. I jumped at it. I thought, what a great idea. And it turned out to be an eye-opener for me. I mean, I hadn't been to any of these events before, and I was given fantastic access, and I was quite pleased with the images I made, actually. So that's how it all happened.
They're pretty raunchy images, especially...
They are raunchier ones, actually, but not ones that... possibly stick in Bondi.
No, especially where the kids and the dogs could see it.
Exactly.
I mean, is it a social comment that you're making with that, or is it just a documentation in your mind?
I think it's more an observation of something that was new to me, and I didn't believe, apart from the performers and the audience, was a well-known quantity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with that kind of work from Jamie Jury, who became a celebrity for other reasons as well.
Yes.
I believe you're also co-curating another exhibition in the Head-On Festival, and that's called Paper Tigers, down at the 2026 Gallery.
I wish I could get there to go to that. I'm pretty devastated about that because I'm stuck in Queensland and due to COVID I can't get down there. Well, I can get down there, but I can't get back. So I'm pretty devastated about that. But yeah, Paper Tigers was a germ of an idea that, with the help of Moshe, evolved into something pretty, pretty special. You know, it's the work of 60 Australian photojournalists, and... it's very close to my heart.
Do you have any works in that exhibition?
Yeah, it's 60 photojournalists. They've each got one image in, which they believe is... it's very difficult to say the best. They've each got one of their images, which is probably best suited to this exhibition, that they select themselves. And I've got one in there which I made of an asylum seeker on Manus Island during... covering the asylum seeker story about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, that seems to be a large part of your work is disasters and, you know, upheaval. Do you find that...
It's funny you should say that, because people say, what's your favourite work to do, you know? And it's really weird to say, well, actually, I like disasters. but it is... it is a large part of the work as a photojournalist, and it's about informing the world, if you like, about the good sides and the bad sides of humanity and the planet.
It's an important role in our society that, you know, we do get those stories out to the wider public.
I can't imagine a planet where the population isn't informed about what's going on around it. They need to know, and it does bug me dramatically when people criticise images from, say, disasters that are probably graphic. They don't want to view them over their morning breakfast and stuff like that. To me, it's a bit galling because they're just sort of showing no. No interest, no care about what's happening in their world.
Yeah, and I mean, we have seen attempts over the years to censor that kind of information about, you know, journalists and other people weren't allowed to go to Manus Island to report on these.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, that, these days, it's once upon a time as a journalist, you were sacrosanct. As a journalist or a photojournalist, your job was sacrosanct. You go where you liked almost and observe and cover. Now, it's you're seen as the enemy. And that's changed in a few decades.
So what?
Now, you're not only seen as the enemy, but you might be seen as a target as well, which makes things even worse.
Yeah. So when do you think that changed, and what do you think caused that change?
The change has been because in the modern world we live in now, everybody's got a vested interest in how the media is controlled. That wasn't always the case. And that's got something to do with social media as well.
Yeah, well, it's certainly given us a different approach to news. I mean, we all live in our little echo chambers now, and we decide the sort of news that we're going to be fed.
For sure.
If we rely just on social media for news, especially.
Yeah. It's also got something to do with the polarisation of the media as well, because... you know, decades ago, the media did attempt to be impartial to a certain extent. Now, they're blatantly one side or the other.
It is, very much so, yes.
Yeah, and that has changed in several decades, and that has been responsible for making journalists and photographers something of a target.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of criticism of photographers, you know, like being ambulance chasers or carrying around the teddy bear that they can put in the disaster zone just for the photo. I mean, you see, that's true, isn't it?
Photographers have been caught out doing things they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Sadly, there's always one or two.
Yeah.
And every time that happens, a big deal's made out of it, and the trust erodes a little more.
Oh, yes.
So it really is the responsibility of the photojournalist to make sure they don't do anything like that, and that 99.999% of them would never do anything like that, but always one somewhere, which is really sad.
So just going back to the Paper Tigers exhibition that you co-curated with Moshe, did you actually see the venue for that one, or did you just curate it online?
No.
It's an amazing space.
I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen a picture of it, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, okay.
I went up in Queensland, remember?
Yeah. Look, I went down there just when it first opened. It used to be a kosher butcher.
Really?
Yeah,
that's fascinating.
For a very long time, it was a kosher butcher down there at Bondi Beach, and they've turned it into this fabulous art space. So I wish you could see some photos of it or a video of it.
Well, you're making it worse, the fact that I can't get there. You realise that, don't you?
Yeah, well, come down to Bondi, just don't go back again. Why would you want to leave?
There's a slight problem with finances there. To get back to Queensland, no, I'd have to pay $3,000 to self-isolate for a start isolate for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're taking the expenses to get there, get back, $3,000 and then lots of income for a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's a very large amount of money, which I certainly can't afford. And, you know, I almost dying to get there, frankly. I'd love to see the work on the walls. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've seen all of it because I helped curate it with, Moshe. But to see it on the wall would be brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And there's also the book launch as well. There's there's the book being launched of the work as well, available at the exhibition.
Okay.
And I haven't even seen a copy of that yet either.
Oh, that's a shame. Oh, you need to get out more, Brian.
I need to get out more. I have travelled a little bit to around northern Queensland, and I recently did a job in Northern Territory. But to bring it home this time, last year I was working on a job in India, which is slightly different, you know. And opportunities under COVID are obviously limited. So, but it's just one of those things we have to put up with. Not going to exhibitions and not travelling. So, There we go.
Yeah.
It'll all be right one day.
Yeah. Well, I hope the book, that you referred to, is that just for the photojournalism exhibition page?
No, it's available. It's available for purchase. It's available for purchase on the Headon website.
Yep.
And I assume it will be available for purchase at the exhibition as well.
Great. Yeah, well, as I said, I saw your works, Me Too, Where the Boys Are, the Girls Are, down at the Paddington Reservoirs on the way in.
And it's a lovely venue, isn't it?
It's a fantastic venue. And they've mounted the photos. It seems to be like a plastic for, you know, outdoor use.
Yeah,
because it's undercover, but it is exposed to the elements if there's a bit of wind and rain out there. So it's interesting. It's not like fine photographic paper, but the images are very clear, even from a distance. So
great. And they're pretty colourful, aren't they?
They're incredibly colourful, yeah.
Thanks for lighting people in the venue, I suppose, yeah.
Well,
that was one of the challenges, because it was like a disco, you know. The lights changing constantly in those circumstances, and, you know, so actually, you know, exposing your pictures properly was definitely a challenge, so, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
It worked okay, yeah.
It worked out very well. Brian Cassie, it's been great talking to you today on Arts Monday, and I hope you get out soon and get to travel the world like you normally do.
Thanks very much indeed, and thanks for the chat today.